Good evening. Good to see everybody back tonight. I didn't make it this afternoon. I understand that singing was good and fellowship was good. That's what we wanted. I've had several talk to me today or suggest to me about this sermon tonight that they need to hear it. I've been trying for the last 3 or 4 months and even into the future of trying to pick subjects that we deal with in our everyday lives to maybe help us through some of these struggling times. And, you know, I kind of snark at this, but it's true. It doesn't matter what question I come up with or what kind of a feeling I can come up with, the answer to it is in the scriptures. I don't have to look to a friend or a family or anyone and with the, you know, with the being able to push the button into an internet, you can go into the scriptures, put a word in there, and it'll give you all kinds of verses that will give you answer to whatever question you've got. And that's what I've been doing to put together some of these lessons that I've been bringing, because it's things that not only are we dealing with today, but many of us have dealt with in the past. This one tonight, depression is horrible. Most of us have probably one time or another had to deal with depression. I know I have. It's not fun. And a lot of times you don't even realize you have a problem until things get to the point that it's almost unresolvable. And maybe we didn't even know we were depressed. It's almost impossible to deal with depression on your own. I've looked at some things, and the following may shed some light. And basically, I want to talk tonight of two different types of depression. One is situational. The other is clinical. And I've just kind of broadened into those two sectors. You can come up with all kinds of names for depression and all kinds of things, you know, that are called depression. But what I've studied and what I've found is those are the two main categories of where depression falls in. Last Sunday night, Bruce talked about come unto me as his closing, closing end of services last Sunday night. And I told him, I said, well, you just went to the heart of my lesson. And then this morning, we opened up, we start talking about worry and anxiety and all these things that go on in our life. And I told Bruce after class, I said, well, you preached my sermon about 4 times this morning. I'll take about 20 minutes and tie it all together. So it's hard sometimes to separate out, you know, what we think in our minds and what we call things, whether we call it anxiety or whether we call it worry or whether we call it concern, whatever it amounts to. But when you look at all these things and put it together, a lot of times that's what causes depression. It's a widespread condition. It affects millions of people, Christians and non-Christians alike. Those suffering depression, and these are just some of the things that they can experience: intense feelings of sadness, anger, hopelessness, fatigue, and a variety of other symptoms. Those are symptoms of depression. If we've got anger within ourselves, we don't know how to deal with it, we've got sadness in our hearts and hopelessness and just no point of going on, there's probably some symptoms there of being depressed. People may begin to feel useless, even suicidal. They lose interest in things that they enjoy. They lose interest in people that they have enjoyed, almost to the point of maybe even coming into seclusion of their own, often having nothing to do with anything or anybody. Depression is often triggered by life circumstances. That's what we're going to call situational depression. And we say, okay, what kind of life circumstances can trigger a depression? A few that I came up with, and there's many more probably that everybody else can come up with, but one, loss of a job can throw us into a tailspin. Death of a loved one. A divorce. medical issues, family problems, drug abuse, alcohol abuse. Those two, a lot of times, are coincided with depression, because depression can cause you to turn to drugs and alcohol. Alcohol and drugs can turn you to depression. The other side, maybe there's some psychological problems. Maybe there's some abuse in our past lives, or even today. Abuse, a lot of times, especially as I look at out into the world today and some of the things that are coming about as far as child abuse and child neglect and all the things that go on in families, that over a prolonged period of time is going to lead to a low self-esteem. It's going to be this child going to be growing up and they don't think anything of themselves. They've been called stupid or fat or whatever word you might entangle with along the way, and that's the way they think. Consequently, they reach into adulthood, and that's the triggers that trigger them into drug abuse and alcohol abuse and all the other things that we hear about. So how do we deal with some of this stuff? I'm going to look at just a few verses tonight. There's many, many out there that we could look at. I want to start in Philippians 4:4. Paul tells the church in Philippi, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." That's a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then Romans 15, Romans chapter 15, 10 and 11. And again, he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples." So we look at these two passages, and it seems to me like the Bible tells us that we need to be filled with joy and praise. God apparently intends for us to live joyful lives, or he wouldn't tell us to be joyful in our praise to God. Now the problem is here, rejoicing and praising God doesn't come easy for someone suffering situational depression. How can we be happy and how can we praise God when we've got our own situation we're trying to deal with that won't let us be happy? That therein lies a problem with going to God with issues. How do you do that? It can be remedied through God's gifts of prayer. I talked to Bruce, I was going to bring it up in class this morning, we're out of time. When we have a lot of worry or concern or anxiety in our life, we all know we should go to God in prayer. Well, that does two things. First of all, it opens up your avenue to talk with the Father. You can lay all those issues onto his shoulders. Secondly, if you're talking to God, the problem you're trying to deal with is gone out of your mind. And it might come around to letting you understand that by talking to God, not only can I lay all this over on him, but I don't have to think about it anymore. It can also be remedied through Bible study and application. If we're not coming to Sunday morning Bible study, I'd ask why not. If we don't understand what the Bible has to say to us, then how can we apply it? It can be remedied through support groups. I don't know how many people were here this morning, 80, 90 people. That's quite a support group, people. We don't have to go outside into the world to find a support group. We've got people right here that understand our needs. They understand God's word and can help. Fellowship among believers. It can be remedied through a confession of forgiveness and or counseling. So there's different ways that we can deal with this situational depression through God with prayer. We do it through Bible and application, support groups, fellowship amongst believers. All these things will get us through and over a depression. We have to make a conscious effort to not be absorbed in ourselves, but to turn the efforts outward. If we continually have our mindset on ourselves and our own situational problems, how are you ever going to get away from the depression that's residing within you? It can't happen. Feelings of depression can be solved when those suffering with depression move the focus from themselves to Christ and others. You have to get your mind off of what's going on in your own life and what's causing this depression. And to do that, you need to move those thoughts to Christ and or others. Others being fellow Christians. Because if you got a depression problem, I can almost guarantee you, I won't guarantee it, but almost, that you're not going to find a solution to it in the outside world. Because what they're going to offer you is what Satan offers you, which is a good time. He'll make you happy periodically, but ultimately you're not going to get rid of it. We go to Matthew 11. This is a passage I was talking about Bruce hitting last Sunday night. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. It says, come to me. That's a command. Jesus says, come to me. You could end it right there. You don't have to have a why. But he says, come to me. And then he says, who? All you who labor and are heavy laden. That's us. That's dealing with the everyday world. That's dealing with all the problems in our life, whether it be family issues or job issues or money issues, whatever it is. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden. And then what? I will give you rest. That's pretty comforting to me. And that tells me that if I go to God, he's going to help me. And he goes on in verse 29, he says, go ahead, take up my yoke upon you and learn from me. And then he says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. That's a promise. Come to me, you who are labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You come to me, I'm gentle, I'm lowly in heart, and I will find rest for your souls. And then he ends it and says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To obey what God has to say is not a burden. To go to God in prayer is not a burden. To lay your difficulties onto God is not a problem. Those are easy. And they become easier. As we talked in class this morning, they become easier. The more mature we get in our faith and the stronger our faith gets, the easier it is to apply these things in our lives. If we don't have the strength and the maturity and the faith that we need in order to deal with these things, then how do you come to God? How do you lay these things over on him when you're still trying to do it yourself? That makes it pretty difficult. And a lot of times we get frustrated to the point where I'm just going to do this myself. Been there, done that. Well, how'd that work out for us? Eventually, you're going to have to go to God. Eventually, you're going to need the scriptures if you're going to get rid of all the garbage. That's just the way it is. 2 Corinthians 7. Paul to the church in Corinth, he tells them, he says, for indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Boy, does that sound like us today. A lot of us can put our feet in those shoes and say, we're troubled on every side, outside were the conflicts and inside were the fears. Nothing's greater than fear itself. Then he goes on in verse 6 and he says, nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. All right, so Paul said they had a problem. Outside we had conflicts, inside we had fears. Verse 6, he said God comforted us. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. So you see how God took care of some issues with Paul here. But Paul led him. Paul was smart enough not to try to do everything on his own. He realized he had issues. He looked to God. God supplied the help. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. First Peter 5, 6, and 7. Most of you know the background of Peter. He was kind of a rabble-rouser of his own, outspoken, denied Christ, all the things that, you know, that go on in today's life. Peter did it. And what an example for us. But he says here in verses 6 and 7, he says to the, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And verse 7, he says, cast all your care upon him. Humble yourselves in the Lord under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's your walk into heaven. In the meantime, cast away all your care upon him. Why? Verse 7 says, for he cares for you. You know, we get sometimes in life, nobody cares. What am I doing? And that verse right here said, there's one person that cares for you, God does. And if you get involved with God and you get into the scriptures and you obey the commands and you become a Christian, now all of a sudden you got a family of people that care. You don't have to rely on the outside world. Thus, depression becomes of a lesser threat to you by doing that. So this whole thing with situational depression boils down to one thing. We need to be with God. We need to have a relationship with God. We need to be able to talk to God. Because you can't handle it on your own. It doesn't work that way. The other is clinical depression. And I just want to touch on this because even though it's the same remedy as far as having God in your life, there's different things that need to be done. Stacy brought up this morning in class of heart conditions. That takes doctors. That takes medicine. Okay? And whether it's an anxiety problem or you know, whatever it might be that you need a doctor's care and you need prescriptions or you need some type of medicine. That's okay. God's opened that door for us. Clinical depression is a physical condition that must be diagnosed by a physician. That's the difference between situational and clinical. It may not be caused by unfortunate life circumstances, like situational. It might not be caused because we lost a job or because we got family problems. Nor can the symptoms be alleviated by one's own will. Much like situational depression. It's really difficult to get out of a depressed state in your life on your own. Here, it can't be done. Depression can sometimes be caused by a physical disorder that needs to be treated with medication and or counseling. Okay? We understand that. Of course, here's the other thing. God is able to cure any disease or disorder. However, in some cases, seeing a doctor for depression is no different than seeing a doctor for an injury. You got a broken leg, you go to the doctor. You got a broken arm, you go to the doctor. You got a cancer issue, you go to the doctor. You got a heart issue, you go to the doctor. You got a mind problem, you go to the doctor. Nothing wrong with that. There are some things that those who suffer from depression can do to alleviate the anxiety. They should make sure that they are staying in the Word. That's first and foremost. Even when they don't feel like it. Because there are times you'll get depressed where you don't want anything to do with anything, including God. And you can't let yourself get there. You have to stay in the Word. Emotions can lead us astray. Amen to that. God's Word stands firm and unchanging. We'll vacillate from day to day. We're very seldom are we the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But God is. That's the one stable thing that you can always have in your life. We have to maintain a strong faith in God and hold even more tightly to Him when we undergo trials and temptations. And as I started off at the beginning, that's hard to do sometimes, to praise and have all these things that we need for God when we got these issues in our own lives. But we have to look at it and we have to overcome that. The Bible tells us that God will never allow temptations into our lives that are too much for us to handle. One of my favorite passages, 1 Corinthians 10 through 15. He just will not lay more on you than you can handle. And He always will provide a way out. All right, whether it's through prayer with Him, as we talked about in the situational depression, or whether it's doctors or counseling or whatever you need if you've got a clinical depression issue. And it came up in class this morning, was anxiety a sin? It comes up, is depression a sin? Although being depressed is not a sin, understand that, it's not a sin. But we are still accountable for the response to the affliction. If we're sinning because of the depression in our life, we're going to have to answer for the sin. You don't have to answer for the depression. So this can be a twofold problem if we got into an area where we've got a depression problem in our life. Is it causing you to sin? Now we've got a bigger problem. Including getting the professional help that is needed. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that confess His name. And that comes from Hebrews 13, verse 15. Depression is real. It's horrible. And if you're suffering from it or you know somebody that's suffering from it, get help. There's no reason to try to deal with it on your own, because many times it can't be done that way. And whether it's clinical or whether it's situational depression that we deal with, somewhere, somehow, you're going to have to put God in your life. That's about as simple as I can put it. As I joke with Peg once in a while, that's all you need to know. I looked around as I was putting this together, and the people here and the people that I look at out in the outside world or have acquaintances with, it doesn't seem to me that depression is very common amongst Christians. But it is common with people in the outside world. So if you're dealing with it, get some help. You got a family of 80 people here that care. Don't just throw your hands up in the air and say nobody cares, because there are people that care. That's the lesson tonight. Thank you for being here. We always issue an invitation to those that might not have put their Lord on in baptism. If you're in that position, you need to get God in your life to deal with some of the issues you've got in your life and throw everything on His shoulders and instead of trying to handle it on your own. That option is open tonight to be baptized. Put your Lord on in baptism. The invitation is always open for those that need prayers of this congregation or of individual help with prayers. We're here for that. Know you've got a family that cares. Don't just throw your hands up and say, nobody cares for me. With that, I'll turn it back over to Don as he leads us in the invitation song.